Welcome to Let's Talk Real Estate. I'm your host, Anna Olcisi, entrepreneur, realtor, and travel lover. Here's where I get to combine all of my passions into one and chat with guests worldwide about all things real estate. Join us for lighthearted banter, useful information, and the occasional outrageous anecdote. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back. I feel like it's been ages since we have recorded a podcast, and it kind of has been because it was well before, I guess, maybe third quarter last year in 2021. So I am very pleased to be back and to be offering really great information that I am not offering myself, but that's why we have experts on the podcast. And so we are kicking off the year with Susan McQuillan. She's come back to the podcast this year. She was on it last year, and she is the VP of the North Central region of Watson Realty Corp, and she is the property management division VP. And so she is definitely very valuable because that is what we're going to be talking about. We're talking about property management, rentals, anything rental related is really affecting the real estate market, and vice versa. The real estate market, the lack of inventory, all of those things are affecting it very, very much. And so that's our goal for 2022, is to bring you incredibly valuable podcasts. No pressure. No pressure, Susan. Like, not even a little bit, but you're going to have to give us a lot. And yeah, so without further ado, Susan, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thank you, Anna. I'm very glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me. And I hope that I can do justice and give some information out for sure.
You totally can. I have zero doubt. You're very knowledgeable about the real estate market. So thanks for being here. First of all, let's just get a little background on you. That way the listeners can learn about you and why you're so very qualified.
Okay, so I've actually been in real estate for 30 years. I started when I was five. And I've done some different aspects in it, including appraising and selling. And now I've kind of landed myself into property management for the last 12, 13 years now, and really have I have driven right into it, of getting to be very familiar with it, familiar with the rules and regulations, laws, and go around training a lot of people. So that helps, obviously, to know the information. And so that's where I'm at right now. I work at Watson, and we do property management there. And that's, I've got five property managers, and we just, that's where we're at.
All right. Well, perfect. Well, yes. You know, since you were five, that is definitely, you know, a long time, lots of training. You've grown up in the industry.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
So yeah, perfect. Well, then you're definitely, most definitely an expert. So tell me a little bit about what's going on, you know, in terms of property management right now. You have several people working with you, which means, I guess, that there's a lot of work to be done, but what is the state of it at the moment?
Yeah, and I guess what I would start off saying, because sometimes I get a lot of questions from the general public that doesn't know the difference between property management and association management. So I'll just kind of tell a little bit about the difference, where you have an association where usually you pay homeowners dues and you make rules and regulations or changes to that from that community. And that's called community association management. In our industry, we like to use acronyms, so we call it a CAM. So that's different than property management, or also known as rentals. So with property management, in my particular sector, we deal with single family residents. They can be condos or homes. And in that capacity, we manage a property for usually an owner who's out of town. So they, for one reason or another, decide to keep the family home, may come back here, maybe keep it as an investment. Maybe they are an investor wanting to have somebody else manage it. So there's those kind of scenarios that we usually have where we're doing managing the property. And it goes from, we wear a lot of hats. So, you know, it's just not rent collection, although I kind of sometimes wish it was. And especially during a pandemic and all kinds of other things that we've had to deal with over the last couple of years, and supply shortages and those kind of things that we have to deal with now. certainly play in a part of having a good property manager to be able to maintain that, especially, like I said, if you don't live in town. That certainly is something that we're here for, to help somebody to keep their asset as an asset. And hopefully have the income still coming in.
Exactly. Well, and that was affected by the pandemic. I know that, and we'll touch on that in a minute. But, you know, we always talk about the real estate, you know, sales shortage. And, you know, we were talking earlier before we started recording how there's a major shortage in rentals as well. So what are you seeing? And since when has this been going on?
Yeah. So I think, you know, there's been some changes with our local city commissioners, and now soon our county commissioners, where they have made some regulations in the rental industry. Whether you like it or not, wherever you stand politically on that, it's there. And it's kind of added some pressure with also having an excellent sales market for landlords to not be in this business any longer. So if you have a home that you've been renting out, say, for $1,400 a month, and you've had it for a few years, and maybe you're frustrated with the tenants that didn't have to pay over the pandemic, maybe you're frustrated with just repairs that need to be done in general with the home, maybe you're not even frustrated, you're just happy to get the most out of your money that you can get right now. And so we had, starting, I would say, last February, March, when also the city commissioners made the changes in the regulations, is when we just had a huge spike in sales of our portfolios. So wow, we lost a lot of properties to the sales industry last year as a whole. And it's kind of looking to start back again, because we're getting back into the very active rental season. And people are now making that decision, with it being springtime, and again, usually a very good time to sell. And with that having such low shortage, we're kind of seeing that whole process again at this time of year. So it's really putting some situations in our housing industry in this community, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. What I find, you know, not interesting, but what I'm wondering is, if all of these owners, you know, who have tenants and everything like that, the landlords, if they bought the house for a relatively low amount of money, and I understand their need or their desire to go ahead and sell that for a major profit, have you seen them just spiking rents instead, like rent prices, and just capitalizing on that?
Absolutely. Well, again, whenever you have the demand, and then you have the shortage. Mm-hmm. So when you have the demand of that kind of housing, certainly the prices are going up with, in addition to all of that. Again, I'll mention, because of the city ordinances that have come about, they are requiring for houses to meet certain requirements. So with those requirements needing to be there, that's an expense for an owner. And whether it's, you know, you have to do insulation, you have to change out windows, whatever it may be, it's putting that burden on a landlord to do that, in addition to the $122 fee that you have to pay. So with those being said, plus the shortage, it just adds to where I'm seeing some unbelievable, I mean, we used to kind of go about $1 a square foot. I'm seeing now like $1.70, $1.80 a square foot for a rental property. It's just, that's pretty, you know, when you're talking a 500, 600 square foot place, where usually that should be something that's affordable for one or two people. I mean, we're talking kind of, my kids live in Chicago, so I can say that we're talking like big city prices.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Well, you know, it's basic economics, right? You know, supply and demand, you kind of charge whatever because people need a place to live.
Yeah.
And are you seeing even like multiple offers or something? I mean, I know obviously we're seeing multiple offers, but how does that work in the rentals?
Yeah, we don't do that. We have to be very careful on fair housing regulations with making sure that we do treat everybody the same way. And I think sometimes when you get into multiple offer situations, it could be construed that you're taking somebody else because of they're offering more money, but, you know, maybe it's because of some other reason. And we just don't get into those kind of wars with it. I've done it. I had in the past had some trials with that, and it's not worth it because you get somebody just wants to offer another $5 more a month or $10 more a month. And again, I could see where a bidding war would happen just like you do in sales. And it just, it doesn't, we try and price it properly to where we'll rent quickly and get the maximum amount for that landlord.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I mean, that's actually, I mean, I don't know if the landlord thinks that that's the best policy, but it's definitely a good policy all around to have. Well, and no one wants to get...
Well, it just keeps us out of trouble where we can say first right. come, first serve. We price it at that. The owner is okay exactly. with taking that amount of money and there you go.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to first come, because a lot of people listening might be first time renters or people who sold and now, you know, again, are first time renters just by default. And so what kinds of things do you need to have on hand? You know, what information do you need to provide to be able to rent a property?
Sure. So almost every property manager or rental company, property management company, usually has an application process. So the application process would be where you fill out the application and provide your income. In our case, we need like the last three payroll stubs. Or you can provide some sort of documentation, a letter from an employer. A lot of times we get people come into Shands that are new to the area and have a letter from their employer. And then you would also have to have your identification in order to do the background and the credit check that we do. So each company kind of has a little bit different criteria, but you do have to have like a no evictions, at least in the past 3 to 5 years. You do have to have a satisfactory credit score. Some companies give you a number that they're drop dead go by. We don't necessarily do that. We look at the whole picture. I don't know how other companies are. We don't take into consideration medical and school because everybody has those loans. So sometimes, you know, if you have those kind of loans, don't be thinking that you can't get housing because a lot of companies don't take those into consideration.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, that's good. Yeah. Especially around here. You get a lot of
sure.
people with both of those. And
yeah, so a clean eviction record would be like, you know, obviously what you need to make sure of a satisfactory credit score, no accounts in delinquent status, those kind of things.
Yeah. Okay. And is that the same then, do you know, for like apartment buildings and apartment complexes? Is that what they're requiring as well?
They may be a little less stringent on it. I don't know. I do know that one advantage of apartment complex is they usually have a lower deposit. And I know a lot of people like that because our deposits are usually the same as the rent.
Right.
And apartment complexes usually allow a lower deposit and easier to move in kind of, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. they even do specials.
Right. Specials, which I don't know how special they are, but yeah, they sound like specials.
They sound good in the beginning.
They sound really good. Yeah. Actually, we had experience with that up in New York with my kids. So yeah, that was really, it was like, it's a bajillion dollars, but you get 2 months off. It's like, well,
yes.
thank you.
Yes.
You raised that price.
Well, I can remember at one point, I think it was the Cabana Beach apartments when they first came on board, because they're kind of geared towards students. And and they were giving away, I know this because we were moving a friend's daughter in, and they were giving away a free cruise. I was like, wow, a cruise.
Good golly.
So, you know, there's all those kind of promotions where they try and get you to come there. So I don't know that the rent helps with that. And I haven't seen many of those nowadays, but certainly.
Right. Well, they don't need to. And that's
right.
the thing. They don't need to do any kind of promotion. I had seen it at first. So I live where there's a new apartment complex called The Gathering. And I speak like this just by the way. I know, Susan, you know what that is. But, you know, if people are listening from around the States or the globe, they may have no idea what The Gathering is. And so it's nine buildings, three stories each. And I don't even know how many units per building. But they're 1, 2, and 3 bedroom apartments. Luxury. They're beautiful, but it's like $2,100 a month for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, which just completely blows me away because on top of everything, they're all occupied. There is a waiting list for this, which, you know, and of course these are for adults. You know, they're not for the student population. So it's like professionals and families and this and that. And so are you just seeing the exasperation amongst people who are trying to do just a single family home and just
Yeah, it has really been hard. I mean, even over the last 2 weeks, I've just gotten calls after calls of agents asking, do you have a, you know, a house, a 4-bedroom house, a 3-bedroom house in the Southwest, in the Northwest? I mean, you know, specific areas near UF, those kind of, even Tioga, that's another community near us. But there's, you know, maybe specific, but some people are just looking for a house. And it's we are really at one of the shortest listing supply that we've been in for, well, at least the 13 years that I've been in business. I've personally have not had it this short.
That is so crazy. And because you deal with, again, and I call it adult versus student, just to make it simple, but you deal mostly with adult, right? It's not so much the student rentals around the university.
We do have, you know, there's a good amount of the unique thing about Gainesville is it's kind of built a city around the college. So in some areas, like you go to UCF, the college is way out there and the city is another place. Here in Gainesville, they have built the city around the college and kind of encompassed it. So what happens is a lot of the homes and even this, what I would call smaller and older, quote unquote, affordable homes, are down around in that area. So we do get occasionally, you know, students. The other problem that the city has is an ordinance that only allows for 3 unrelated adults to live in a property at one time. So that is a little bit of an issue with your 4 or 5 bedroom homes, and there are plenty of them down around in the city. You can't have more than 3 unrelated people. So that kind of keeps the population down for the students and raises the prices for them for sure. So if they just go outside of the city limits where they can do that and be in a bigger house and lower costs, a lot of them do that.
True. Well, I hadn't even thought about that. I mean, I knew the rule, of course, but it never occurred to me that as long as they're outside the city limits, they don't have to worry about that. So
that's right.
So that's, you're going to get like a party house next to your house.
You definitely could get that.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned now. Yeah. So that's very interesting that they're doing it. I mean, once upon a time, and correct me, of course, if I'm wrong, but I used to remember that the rents were super, super high around the university because of the student population, and less so around the city. I mean, people just, you know, it was much more, I guess, reasonable might be the word. Have you seen that either shift or just equalize?
Oh, no, I think that I would consider them super, super high. If you can even find one, that's another thing, is that kind of word of mouth goes around a little bit more in some of the student rentals. And I think it's, if they haven't already, I believe it's this month that a lot of the UF students will be notified that they got in for the fall semester. So that usually starts another kind of run of craziness where we get calls, you know, like if I have one condo available today, they'll call me and say, oh, we want to move in August. And I'm like, oh, that's not available in August.
Right.
So, you know, that if you can even find an available rental down around the university, it would be hard to I'm sure people would be jumping on it because they're very far and few between right now too.
Well, then that says to me that people around the university who want to sell need to sell right now so they can get tenants in there ASAP.
Yes, we can get them before the August.
Exactly. Well, you know, July is when all the medical residents end up starting here, and so that also drives, you know, the rental market around the university and around the hospital for sure. But that's like one and the same because the hospital is at the university. So I would think that having something available in July would be probably just as great as having something available starting at the beginning of August.
Yeah.
Would you say that's fair?
Oh, for sure. I would say, you know, June, July is certainly is our busy season. August is more busy for me in that that's when we have our move-ins and move-outs. But by then, we've already rented all of our properties out. So, you know, usually those are May, June, July. We start advertising our properties about 60 days out of when it's available. And then usually, again, those properties around the university get rented pretty quickly.
Of course. Yeah. And so you're saying 60 days out from when it's available, you tend to start advertising it and putting it on the multiple listing service and everything. So what if I were to apply for it today and, you know, get it? I thought the rule was that within 2 weeks, you kind of have to be paying for rent already from the time you apply. Is that right?
So that's not exactly true. I can tell you, I know that there are apartment complexes and there are specialty student homes that are already advertising right now for a move-in of, say, July. And they are looking for those students that will be ready for the fall semester. In gotcha. My sector of the business, because we do require for tenants to give us a 60-day notice, I don't usually know that those properties are going to become available until, like I said, May, maybe even June. That's why our sector of the business is a little bit different than those apartment complexes, who some of them actually start, they'll start when you move in last August, they'll say, are you going to renew for next year already? If not, we'll start putting your apartment up. So we don't do that.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think that's sort of part of the problems on what they have with the renter's rights. Certainly that to me isn't a best way of practicing, but I do understand that you want to make sure that you don't have an empty place sitting there. So in our case, anyways, we do 60 days out. Now, if we happen to have somebody today tell us they were moving out, say August 1st, we would put it on the market today and advertise it for August 1st, but you wouldn't pay rent until you actually moved in.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know because I've had a lot of people ask me that question. See, the thing is that I deal with a lot of executives and relocation and all that. And what they ideally want is short-term rental, but that's almost impossible to find here. So do you have that? Do you deal with the corporate housing market?
So I do not. I know there's a couple of other companies that do, but even those are very far and few between. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the reason why we don't have a little bit more outside of it is a lot more work to try and do short-term rentals. Sure. Obviously, if I can get a similar price and have somebody in there for a whole year, if that's my goal, then sure. Perfect. If I can shorten the lease and get more money, that's not too mm-hmm. bad. But then my turnover is more often, and that can kind of cause problems, whether you have, you know, you hope that you get another tenant in there quickly mm-hmm. so that you don't have it sitting vacant and not having that income coming in. And that's always a concern on those short-term rentals, even if you did 3 months, 6 months. So that tends to not be in this environment in this area right now, because there's so many people standing in line ready for a 1 year lease at top dollar. It's yeah. a lot harder to have those short-term rentals for sure.
Yes. Well, that is, that makes sense. And, you know, they're from a landlord point of view, from an owner point of view, that is a tax issue as well, as far as, you know, I know having too many, like the short, and there are many communities that don't even allow for the short-term rentals anyhow.
Yeah, so, that is another thing. There's a couple of communities I know of where they only allow one lease per year. So you can't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's a lot because, you know, the other, which I don't touch on either, is the Airbnb. You talk about having a party school, right. You know, that seems to be one of those options of an owner making a little more money and quickly if you rent out mm-hmm. your place on the weekends. But, you know, that's another thing with associations or with the city requirements too, that you need to be careful of.
Yeah. That's actually, it's been a big issue with people, the investors that I work with. They've had to dig deep and make sure that the HOAs are allowing or the condo associations are allowing it. And then they have to kind of calculate, even if they don't buy there and they buy somewhere else that allows it, you know, what's in it for them and would they be able to do it at all with city ordinances and all that. So it's really, right. It's really interesting, that market. So it's almost a little bit difficult to be an investor nowadays and here, you know,
for sure.
Yeah. And that's, you know, to your point, that's what the landlords are experiencing is just, you know, they were investors at one point and now maybe it's time to get out of that investment and sell it. Do you know if they're selling it to people who, like, do you take over? Are a lot of investors buying from investors and you're taking over?
Well, no, I mean, I have not seen a lot of that. So the answer would be no, because the prices are so high. Most investors right. are just sitting back waiting. I think more than jumping into this market right now. I don't have a lot of properties that are maintaining as rentals, especially now what we'll see a lot of is the students that are coming to town, not being able to find what they want, and the parents going ahead and buying condos mm-hmm. or small homes in order to have their, you know, you're going to have a student here for 4 years. It certainly is an investment to do that when you have very high rents or no rents.
Exactly.
So, I know. You know, and if you can find a condo or a small little house to yeah. buy and put your kid in it and make some money with a couple of roommates, you know, that certainly is an option. So,
for sure.
But no, I haven't seen a lot of investors right now out in that in the industry and keeping them as rentals.
Well, that's good. That kind of reinforces what I keep telling people who want to be investors. It's like, run the numbers, because I don't think that this is the time to do that. The problem is, I don't know when the time is going to come, because it seems that, you know, with it's just the city's growing so fast and, you know, the school's gaining such popularity and all that, and more students and even the students who are virtual, because we did have virtual, we have a great virtual college, they still like to live here. Yeah. So I think that's why those rentals are just soaring. Now has a glut in student, like new student apartments. That hasn't affected it either. People still want the single family homes around the university.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of new student living coming in as well. I mean, if mm-hmm. you go drive downtown right now, and yeah. if you haven't been here in about 5 years, you'll be shocked to go down on University oh, yeah. Avenue and see what it looks like right now. So there certainly is a lot of construction going around in that area to help with the students. And all in the Butler Plaza area, those are all new apartment complexes as well to help to satisfy the need. Because, you know, the university really can't build more dorms that I can see.
No.
I don't know yeah. how much more land they have, but the land around them is getting, looks to me, shorter and shorter. So, but certainly, you know, there's definitely a lot of under construction student housing happening. So when that will happen to where it's kind of leveled out will be interesting to see.
Yeah, no, it'll be very interesting to see, because I, you know, financial models were saying that it really wouldn't support so much student housing, and that eventually, like, the next big thing would just take over the last big thing. And so then the rents would decrease in the one that was phenomenal. You know, it was like, and I don't know if it's happened, but in places like the Standard, and then suddenly there's a place that's even better than the Standard, and then better than that one. And so I'm curious to see what happens. But again, I think the single family homes around the university will always be popular, yeah. no matter, you know, no matter what kind of apartments there are available. And I don't really know why that is, by the way. And maybe you know why that is. I don't know if it's because you can have beer pong on your front lawn. I have no idea.
Parking. I will, as a little parking. Side thing, remember, you do have to have, if you have parking down around the University of Florida, you do have to have a permit for that.
So that's true.
If you're trying to make $20 per car on your front lawn, you make sure you are paying the appropriate fees for that. You know, I don't know. I think still there is, yeah, it's certainly, well, I think any of us would, if you had to put up against being in an apartment complex or having a single family residence, I mean, it just depends. And it depends on the person, but certainly you don't have to worry about parking spaces for the most part. You don't have right. to worry about the person up above you who is screaming and yelling or loud and stomping really True. Hard in the middle of the night, or playing loud music, or, you know, the apartment complex is a different life form. So when you're dealing in a residential community, you know, and you've got somebody who wants to be, you know, in a house and have a couple of roommates, certainly that is an option. And I don't know, personally, to me, I would rather do that than be in an apartment complex. But
right,
then again,
right,
you got to take what you can afford and what you can get.
That's true, because those single family homes, yeah, like we were saying, those command a premium. And that's, you know, that's a lot, especially if you can have anybody unrelated you know, or fewer or any more than three unrelated individuals in a house. So, you know, yeah. Even if you've got siblings living there, then mom and dad are paying a lot for that rent for two kids. So based on everything that's going on in the city with all the apartments being built, the lack of inventory and everything, how do you see your business, you know, evolving in the next year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the same with sales. I mean, we have ebbs of really good times and really not so good times. And I think that our business is solid. We've been around for a long time, and there's always going to be the need for property management, especially for those people that are out of town. Mm-hmm. So you just got to, you know, roll with the punches when they come. And like any good real estate agent, property manager, company, I'll put those all in one big hat. You just get ready for these kind of times, because it's usually happens where you've got really good times. And like you had said earlier, you've got all these buyers, but no house. And so you've got to try and deal with what you've got. And I wish I had a little bit of a crystal ball and could say what was going to happen in the next couple of years. But you know, who knew? Who knew we were going to have a pandemic? Who knew we were going to experience the things we've done in the last 2 years? So it's been a real challenge for us all. And so hopefully in the future, we get kind of back to some normalcy and can kind of all settle down, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's definitely not for lack of rentals or renters. It's just lack of rentals. So hopefully when things equalize a little bit in terms of supply and demand, then, you know, you'll get that going again with more and more people. When you said, you know, you mentioned that a few times, is you have the out of town landlords and all that. What percentage do you know, like, of your business? How many?
Oh, I would say probably about 75%, to be honest.
Wow.
Most of our owners are out of town. They may be in Florida and not so far away, but most of our owners are out of town. And I'll tell you, if they are in town, we have an option for an owner or an investor to where we do something called a tenant placement. So we do all the work in the beginning as far as marketing the property, showing the property, possibly paying a realtor to bring a tenant to us. We do the background check. We do the lease signing, everything all from the beginning. And then we hand it over to an owner / landlord to take over from that point on. And if you're in town, certainly that is an option instead of paying a monthly fee to have somebody else take care of it. You can take the phone calls for the plumber. And in some cases, people like to do it themselves. If they're an investor or are a handyman by heart, they can go over and fix the doorknob that's not working properly, or screw the screw that's unscrewed. Those kind of things. On my end of it, we use, vendors that are vetted and insured and licensed. So there comes a fee with those kind of things where we're having to take care of 24-hour calls, maintenance calls, emergency calls, and licensed and insured vendors. So that's where there's fees to pay for that. So that being said, a lot of times when a person's in town, it's not near as needed to have that kind of assistance in managing it that it is when somebody's out of town.
And is it 10 to 20% of the rent? How much is that?
Yeah, there's usually a range. Some companies that have a flat fee. There's all kinds of different models as far as what a percentage is. Yeah, anywhere from 10 to 20% is absolutely correct. Depends on the length of the lease. Short-term rentals are usually more closer to the 20% because there are a lot more to manage. Sure. And it depends on the rental price. Sometimes your lower rental homes are a lot more work because they are needing a lot more attention. So, as opposed to something that's a $3,000 rental. Sometimes those are in better condition and not need as much work. So it certainly depends on what the situation is and what the house is like.
And how about if you've got, and I don't know if you manage, multi-lease units, so like four bedroom, four bath, condos for students?
Yeah, there's a couple of people that do what we call individual leases. So if you had a 4-bedroom house, and let's put a little asterisk that it's outside the city limits, and you wanted to have four people rent it, then you could have individual leases. That is, that person is only responsible for their part of the rent and maybe their bedroom. You know, that's sometimes how that goes with it. We don't do that model. There are a couple of companies that do. And like for us, we do have our leases encompass everybody that lives there, and they're all responsible for all parts, because you just don't want to get into, I don't want to get into those arguments of, oh, I didn't put that hole in the wall, or, you know, we moved bedrooms 2 weeks ago, or, you know, I didn't use all that electricity, or, you know, all those little fights you can get with that. So we don't have that model, but there's several companies that do allow that. And certainly as a mother of what was once a college student, you know, an individual lease is sometimes better, that you don't have to worry about the entire rental price.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. That's the situation we were in when my daughter first moved to New York. It was individual and it was lovely. Well, you know, lovely in New York money. So, New York rent. Yeah. So still like crazy.
Oh, I know.
Good grief.
Oh, I know.
It was insane. So, you know, to put in perspective, no matter how high our rents get here in Gainesville, they'll never be as high, I don't think, as they are in those big cities, even though sometimes it seems like they're approaching them, but nay, they're not anywhere near, you know.
Oh no. And you know, and obviously, like I said, my kids live in Chicago, so I totally can relate to that. And I think New York's probably even higher yet and smaller yet. So when you're talking about, in some aspects, they're in like 200, 300 square feet and they're paying $2,000.
Yeah.
You know, we aren't there yet.
Right. Not there.
No.
Not quite. So, yeah. So that's the good thing. So that's the beauty of it. You know, it's perspective. It's knowing that we still are very affordable. We still have great rental options. You just have to snatch it right when it comes out.
Yeah. And I think you got a point right there. You've got to be ready. So I think that, you know, first of all, if you know there's things on your credit report, try and get those things cleared up. Because if you have landlord debt from a previous landlord or a utility bill that's not been paid, get those things cleared up, because they're going to cause you problems. So that would be the first thing I would suggest, is to do that. Obviously sometimes you don't know those things are on there, but you know, if you can do some of those free credit reports or whatever and check in on that, have your credit report ready, have your income ready, have your letter from where you're going to work ready, and be ready to put in an application on something. Because truly, I mean, I do get people, they're like, well, you're the fifth person I've called and they already have an application. And I'm like, yeah, because you got to be ready to pounce. And
right.
And again, I can't say you can't probably start looking early enough, but just be prepared, especially if you're coming in the summer months. It's going to be a little hectic.
For sure. Yes. And a lot of people learned that lesson a little bit too late. So yeah, that's a tough one. Is there anything that I haven't covered that you'd be interested in chatting about?
No, I don't think so. You know, I guess the only thing else I would say about, you know, having a property manager for you is that there is a lot to be said about the emotional part of renting out a property and dealing with a tenant yourself. And I've had this happen before, where a lady was trying to rent out her place and felt bad for the tenants, and, you know, was allowing them to stay there rent free for a little while. And this was before pandemic. So, and then they took advantage of her in so many aspects that she finally came into us. She got an attorney and those kind of things. And sometimes it's really hard. You got to decide on whether you can handle it as a landlord by yourself to deal with the situations that you might have to come up about.
Yeah.
And some are uncomfortable. You get a call that there is fighting and screaming and yelling by the couple that are living there, and you've got to go and, you know, make those kind of
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, you've got to be involved in it that way. Sometimes when you hire a property management company, that takes out the emotion part of it because we are the business part of it and we know what needs to be taken care of. We put out the notices appropriately. I will tell you, even through the pandemic, luckily, we still got 93% of our rent.
Wow.
And so we had very little problems with evictions or, you know, there was a lot of very good owners that went over far beyond reach, I would say, that gave discounts, mm-hmm. gave credits, gave a 3 months or 2 free months of rent in the very beginning of March of 2020. So, you know, that kind of stuff goes a long way. And you know, I think we made it through all of that kind of mess. But, you know, I would just say if you do decide to try and rent out your property on your own, just think of all the hassles that you can encounter with that.
Right. Well, you know, and that's just like selling, right? You have to take the emotion out of it, and it's best to have someone handle it for you just to avoid all of those things and help you get, you know, the best deal possible. Because as a landlord, as an owner, you want to make sure that you're getting the best deal, you're getting the best type of tenant, you're getting, you're not being taken advantage of and all of that. So yeah, it's definitely having a property manager is the way to go. I could not imagine having a rental property myself without having a property manager to oversee all of that. It is a lot. It is a lot. And especially if you have multiple properties, which I'm guessing you work with people who do.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, great. Well, it's good to know that the eviction thing wasn't a big deal here. I mean, I know in part it has to do because we have a lot of professionals with steady jobs here in this town, especially in the medical profession. So that probably helped.
Yeah. And I know there were some, I mean, I have heard some stories of some people that, you know, couldn't get somebody out and they were taking advantage and not paying. And there certainly was those stories. But for the most part, I can tell you with our portfolio, even at that time, we had about 600 properties and we had one eviction that happened during the pandemic where we had to, you know, we had somebody who didn't pay for the entire, I think, 8 months that she was in there and went through the process. But you're going to get those kind of bad apples any which way you go. So yeah. I'm glad that we made it through that mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, that's good. That speaks highly of everybody in this town, I guess, landlords and tenants, and then the property managers who are taking care of it all behind the scenes.
That's right.
Yeah. So great. Well, thank you so much for enlightening us about all of this, you know, from being the property manager to what's going on in the industry to rentals and what it's like to be a landlord and what actions they're taking right now in terms of possibly selling and everything. So we'll see when this all evens out. In the meantime, keep me aware of rentals coming up because I've got all
let you know.
Let me know. Just me. Just
you got know. It. You got it, Anna. I will send you a text as soon as I have something.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Sounds good to me. All right. Wonderful. Everybody, thank you so much for coming back and listening and joining us in 2022. Looking forward to having more great guests like Susan informing you about all things real estate and letting you just become more knowledgeable consumers and, you know, great buyers and sellers. Here is to the next one. And Susan, you have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Anna.
Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you hear and want to learn more about real estate and hear the occasional funny story, then hit that subscribe button right now. And if you know of someone who'd benefit from listening, then tell them to subscribe too, or else they may feel a little left out. For questions, topic suggestions, or nice comments, send an email to anna@segwayre.com. We can also connect on Facebook at SegwayRE. Thanks for listening as we bring you a new way of doing real estate. Bye!